Thank you, Gary. A couple more quick things I want to point out to you before we pray for us, is this is a fundraiser. You can read it. If you have more questions, you can see Pastor Rick. The next thing I want to recognize this morning is, you may not know this, but there's this sport called hockey, and it uses a stick and a puck. And James and Joyce Lee's grandson plays that sport. And it's up north in Ann Arbor, Michigan. If you'll see up north, he's the goalie for that team. And he was the defensive player of the week in that conference. And you've seen him on Sunday mornings. It's been a while, though. He's a fine-looking young man. He's a good young man. And we praise God for his faithfulness and him being up there. So if you think about him, pray for him, okay? I'm sure that he had a lot of questions when he went up there, like, do they play hockey in Savannah? Yeah, for two games in January, or four games in January. So we're proud of him, and tell him, James, that we're proud of him, okay? Let's pray. Father, your truth is eternal. God, it's truth that's eternal, whether or not we believe it, trust it, or even acknowledge it. But God, I'm asking you today to help us today to come with an openness to the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, make yourself known. I ask, I plead, I desire. And God, I know a lot of us here desire that too. In fact, God, I think a lot of us just need a refresher and some freshening up. And then there's other of us that just needs fresh, first time. And God, I pray today that we can honor you by being honest with ourselves and honest with you. We honor you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week I began a series entitled Renewing Your Mind. And today we're going to continue that series, but since I knew that some people would not be here, I wanted to give a brief overview from last week as a reminder of some of these things. To begin renewing your mind, we have to take honest inventory of our thought life. What's your inventory of your thought life? What would it be if you wrote it down? What would it be like if someone could read your thoughts? Really? Especially on certain days at certain times of certain moments. Probably some of you wouldn't be married. Probably some of you, if you thought you could figure out how to cover it up, you probably have less children or no children. The ones that are laughing are the ones that are being honest. Okay? One of the things that scares me the most about Kathy is she's watched a lot of CSI. I'm not joking. She's watched a lot of CSI. But take an inventory of our thought life. Our thoughts matter. Our thoughts count. Our thoughts impact. Then asking ourselves, which thoughts do we struggle with the most? Are we struggling with thinking in the outhouse? Is our thought life more about ourselves and what we can gain from this life? Are our thoughts of doom and gloom? Are our thoughts heavenly, peaceful, eternal? Because I don't think that we're always thinking doom and gloom. It's asking ourselves, where do we linger? Where do we live? What controls us? What are the outcomes in our lives? Because they all originate with a thought or thoughts. And then I gave you a point about using the truth to defeat a lie. And it says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy our strongholds, or destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. As a side note there on the last part, is we're going to talk about that a little bit more, okay? I said to you last week, and it was mostly in jest, but maybe not, that I said this is either going to be about 3 sermons or 30, okay? Because I'm not really sure how we're going to parse all this out, what God has on His heart. But this is a real thing that involves each of us. Because even though there are days where we may not think other people think, we're always thinking. Our brains never stop thinking. There's always thoughts. And our thoughts impact our brain, and our brain impacts our bodies, which we see as actions. So as you look at those three things this morning, as we continue this renewing our mind, if you were to pause this morning and ask yourself this very simple question, how is God renewing my mind? How is God challenging my thought life? How does God desire to see me change my thought life? Begin to ask yourself those questions Because as a foundation truth this morning is God is renewing us. God is renewing our minds. God is desiring to renew us and be more Christ-like today. I mentioned Kathy earlier. Kathy and I have been married 27 years, but we've been together 35, going on 36. I was really young when Kathy snatched me up. Why do you think I'm lying about that? Because most of you know my story. We started dating when I was 14. We dated 8 years. It took me 8 years to convince her to marry me. Why didn't you laugh at that? What the heck, huh? You think I'm lying about that one? Not really. But some of the nuances of our dating, courting, engagement life is this. We were dating for 8 years, but most of those 8 years we lived in two different states. Literally. I lived in Indiana or Florida. She always lived in the backwoods of Kentucky. Okay? But when we were married in March 30th, 1991, we began our life together. But one of the things is that started back when we began dating, right from the beginning, is this. I always thought that I would marry her. So no matter where I lived, no matter where she lived, no matter what I had going on, the thought process was this. She and I are meant to be together forever and ever and ever. That has never changed. And I, even though she's not well today and she's not here, I would hope if you ask her later that she would say, I felt the same way. Okay? Our thought lives impacted our brains, which impacted our actions, which impacted all the ways that we lived that life out, and we still do today. So this morning, as we begin to kind of narrow some things down in part two of renewing our minds, let's remember a couple things I told you last week. Our most powerful thought is where the direction of our life is usually headed. So if you're walking around with dismal thoughts, predominantly thinking life is terrible, woe is life, woe is me, then there will be an outworking of that life somehow or those thoughts somehow in your life very often. If what I'm saying is a lie to you, then why is teenage suicide in an epidemic proportion? Why is it that we have never seen the necessity for anti-depression medications ever at all-time high? There's a brokenness. And some of us have experienced brokenness. Some of us may be broken right now. But God wants to renew, restore, and reconcile. If you have a thought, I think I'm missing out on something, then I would encourage you to stay with that thought a little bit today because you might really be missing out on something. Because God has all of Him for you. God doesn't have something for you without Him. You see, we want a better, and you can fill in the blank, but often what we're really thinking is God, I want a better without you. And God says, you don't get the best without me, because I am the giver of the best, because I am the best. So your thought process today needs to begin with, how is my view of God? Go ahead. Our view of God impacts our thinking. Our view of God impacts our thinking because the mind is a battlefield. It says in Psalm 16:8, I keep the Lord before me always because He is close by my side. I will not be hurt. Why at times do we struggle with just crazy thinking? Why do we at times struggle with the lies that we know to be lies, but we just can't supplant them with truth? Science shows, not Dane, science shows when you have a thought, you form a pathway in your brain. That thought can be good or bad, but you don't have indifferent thoughts. You either have thoughts that are healthy or unhealthy. Healthy or toxic, building up or tearing down. But every one of them has something in common, that is this. You're building a pathway. It's a real pathway. And you don't get to twinkle your nose or snap your finger or watch a Harry Potter movie and that pathway all of a sudden change. It doesn't work that way. I told you last week, and I'm going to keep telling you, it takes real work to have a godly view of God. It takes real investigation. It takes a real change of your thinking. It takes a real change of your brain. It takes a real change of your heart to have a view of God that's accurate and on target. Let me tell you something. Anybody in here besides me like Duck Donuts and John Foxworth? Anybody else like, we got a problem. Who hadn't had a Duck Donut? Oh, sinners, sinners, sinners. Duck Donuts. Yeah, Duck Donuts. All right. I love Duck Donuts. And you know what? No matter how many times I go in there and tell myself that one won't be bad for me, one's going to be bad for me as long as I eat the whole donut. I can go in there and get them and give them to somebody else. That may not be bad for me. But the fact is when I partake of one, they're not good for me. But they sure do taste good. Okay? And here's something you have to realize. Your view of God, it might be seemingly acceptable, but is it accurate? Because your view of God will impact the way you act. If God is distant, if He's non-existent, if He doesn't care, if He doesn't love you, if He's not interested in you, then you will live your life on a path that you do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. And that's not the salt and the light. If your view of God is He is up close and personal, that He does really care about the hairs on your head, even if they are getting less, okay? That if He really does care about you intimately, that He's a sovereign God and He is not absent, that He's a Heavenly Father who loves and cares, then when life hits you in the face, and it will hit you in the face, then you are already aware of a truth because you're already thinking that pathway, that God cares, He's intimate. I knew that when I lived in Florida and Kathy lived in Kentucky, we were about 12 hours apart. I knew she loved me and I knew that I loved her. And therefore, tomorrow I didn't have to wonder if she was going to pick up the phone and call me and say it's over with. And she didn't have to worry about the vice versa because our view of relationship was eternal. Is your view of God eternal? Is it a view that says He's not aware? Because if your view is a lie, then you're forming a pathway that is based on a lie. And that's toxic thinking. That's thinking you'll never be whole, that you can never see or experience the power and the presence and the love of God. That impacts everything from this point forward. What is your thoughts towards God today? Are you angry at Him? I know He's near, but I wish I could get rid of Him. I know that He loves me, and I wish He quit pursuing me because, man, He's aggravating because then He might ask something of me that I'm not willing to do. Or is it, I love to hear God. I love to experience His presence. I know that things are going to happen because I live in a fallen world that He's sovereign over, and I don't understand everything, but I live in a world where my God is God of all of it, and He loves me no matter what. Your view of God impacts your thinking. I keep the Lord before me always because He is close by my side. I will not be hurt. Psalm 16:8 begins with a truth, a thought upon the truth, that He's with me no matter what. The second one, as we look at renewing our mind, God has given us the responsibility for our thoughts. I know we don't get to check out and blame it on somebody else. It says in Deuteronomy 30:15, I have put in front of you today life and what is good, and death and what is bad. Do you know what's missing from that scripture that I think most of us love to try to live in? The in-between all that. Let me find my gray area. God says, you have free will, you get to choose. When God wrote this scripture to the Israelites in Deuteronomy, they were on their way to the promised land. They were alive, large, and in charge. Moses was leading that band of misfits, and they were on their way to the promised land. And He says, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you boys today. I love you so much. I care about you so much. Then I'm going to give you choices. And the first choice is going to be this. I put in front of you life or death. My way or your way. And you get to choose. So as part of renewing your mind is this. You get to think upon the goodness of God. I would tell you, in my personal opinion, one of the toughest things about that right there is this. You ready? I'll give you a couple of dangers, I think, in that one. Routine and uncertainty, because you and I have a routine. Now, there might be some variation. Some of you go to school, work, do this and do that. But in the middle of that, are you realizing you get to choose? You might say, well, in the routine, I have to do these things. Your thoughts impact your brain, which impacts your actions, which can turn the mundane into something that glorifies Him. You get to choose today between life and death, the good and what's not good. That's your choice. It's not a spouse's responsibility. It's not a child's responsibility. It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. It's each of our responsibilities. Aim at nothing, you hit at nothing. What are we trying to do today? We're trying to renew our minds to be set up on the things of God. Routine, uncertainty, they're dangerous. I think sometimes I view my life like the silly TV remote I have that has about 4 buttons I use and another 40 that I really don't know what they do. Okay? And here's what I mean by that. There's choices that God has enabled me to think through and choose Him and His way. Those other 40 buttons, I may not know what they do, but if I choose one of those, they have consequences. There's going to be an action associated with that. I get to choose, if I get to engage, beginning with my mind, what God is doing. And I told you this last week, told you again already, that we're always thinking. We're always thinking. Another one I would tell you today is a very huge danger for all of us is this. On your list of what to accomplish today, is that list long? Is that list life-giving? Is that list kind of mundane? And you're starting to think, or you will start to think, I got to do this and this and this and this. If you forget everything else I tell you over these next few weeks, would you please listen to this one? You can multitask, but you can't multifocus. And when you start trying to multifocus, your mind becomes exasperated. It becomes tired and it becomes weary. And so therefore, you're only giving so much energy to every little thought that's out there on your radar. And God is saying, I want to focus you. I want to focus you. And so therefore, you have to take responsibility and say, I might want to accomplish a lot of things, but what does God want to accomplish? We believe we can multifocus, and it's a lie. We cannot multifocus. You either get to choose life or you get to choose death. You don't get to choose your to-do list all at one time. You have to ask yourself, how is God ordering my life? Because He's given us free will. He's given us responsibility to focus on Him, His ways, and the ways He's trying to renew our minds. I read a story about a guy. He was literally in a swimming pool. He's an adult man. He was in a swimming pool. And he was trying to hold his breath to impress these kids. And this, by the way, is a true story. I didn't make this one up. And it's not me. And he was able to do it for about a minute. Well, there had to be another adult guy. They were on vacation somewhere. And he noticed this man that I started the story with trying to do this. And he kind of started making fun of him a little bit. So, like, you can only do it for a minute? He said, sure. How long can you do it? Oh, like 6 or 7. He's like, you're lying. He went underwater. He showed him they could do it 6 or 7 minutes. He said, how did you do that? He said, I'll teach you. He said, your problem is you go underwater, you think about the air you don't have. I go under the water and I think about the air I do have. And he taught him this technique that how you think upon the air you do have and how to use it wisely and able to hold your breath for 6 or 7 minutes. The original guy in the story, last time I heard him talk about it, he was up to 4.5 minutes of being able to stay underwater by holding his breath. There's days if you put me underwater for 40 seconds, I'm coming out saying, God, help me, I'm dead. I'm on the verge of not making it. Where is your focus? Where is your focus? Where's your mindset today? What are the thoughts that are impacting your life in the view of God that are not really truthful, that are not really being honest, that maybe you've changed them to fit your agenda? If God is distant, then I can do what I want. If God kind of loves me, then I can kind of love others. If I don't believe God could forgive me for everything and anything I've done, then maybe I can kind of forgive others for what they've done to me. But if a view of God is He forgave me no matter what, then therefore I embrace the truth that says I forgive others for no matter what. And then I'll turn around and even bless them no matter what. God has given us responsibility for our thoughts. You have free will. Use it to choose life. I'd also encourage you to think about this too. So often I hear this from individuals is this. A prayer life is just kind of blah, just kind of non-existent. When I get to thinking about trying to pray, I have all these thoughts about other things. Okay, let's embrace that truth. And let's ask God to give a passion to bring our thoughts under His reign, under His control, and to renew our minds. Let's ask God to give us life in the prayer life. Let's ask God to raise the dead and breathe life upon us. Your vibrancy, your life, the way you act, the way you speak, there's a world around us that needs to see, hear, experience the presence of God. And often, I'm not sure I do a very good job of doing that because my thoughts are so scattered. They're here, they're there, they're not focused. I'm thinking about all the things I want to get done. But every once in a while, I come across a nugget of truth. The other day, I was in Parker's getting some coffee, and a young lady asked the young ladies all the time, pretty much there's always young ladies working, there's not many young men working. I just said, how's it going today? She goes, kind of how you feel some days. Kind of just getting through life. Maybe the next moment will be better. Maybe tomorrow will be better. And for that one brief moment, I felt God speak to me. I just looked at her and I said, you just need to do two things today. God loves you and He has a plan for more for your life than you realize. And those are truths. Walked away. No great miracle. No one walked on water. No one saying, hallelujah, praise God. But you know what happened when I thought about it? When I thought about the thought? I went in there with a different thought. I went in there thinking, who today God needs your truth? Who today God needs your truth? Who today God needs your truth? What wrong mindset is holding you hostage? Because you get to choose life today. You don't understand all of it. I didn't say understand all of it. You may not understand all the ramifications, the consequences, or the outcomes. I didn't say you had to do that. I'm saying think upon the truth of God about Him and about you and about a relationship. What's missing? And the last one. To renew our minds, we have to know Him and we have to make Him known. You may not know that, but that's kind of like our little purpose statement for the Sycamore Church. To know Him and to make Him known. Because if we're really going to do Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. If you don't control what you think, you'll never control what you do. If you don't control what you think, you're going to lose control of what you do. Today I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, I want to see a difference in your mind to begin to declare truths. Knowing him by experience, thinking upon the truth, and then making him known. Thinking, I have been called, I have a purpose, He loves me, and I'm going to love others. To know Him and make Him known. It says in Psalms 143:5, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. Let me ask you a question just to think about this morning. Is this, if I ask you to list the pile of not good things in your life, of the things that you're struggling with, of the things not going your way, how long would that list be? That's for you to think about. But now here's a real thought that's going to destroy that list. You ready? Think upon the way God's blessed you. First and foremost, look around. You are surrounded by people who love you and who care about you. How about that list? Why don't you think about making that list mentally? Why don't you think about making that list when you look in the bank account? Why don't you think about making that list when you feel like keeping up with somebody else that you know it's a lie to try to keep up with somebody else? How about making that list when you think so-and-so and so-and-so will never get how much God loves them? Wrong-o, because you're in it one more day with them to show, to experience the presence and power of God. You're in one more day to fall in love with Him. Have you thought about how much you love Him? Are you willing to engage how much He loves you? Because it says in Philippians 4:8-9, this is the Message version. I love this. It's a little different. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that. And who? God, who makes everything work together, will work in you into His most excellent harmonies. Don't think about that which you don't know or you don't understand. Think upon that which is true and noble. Think upon that of which is the sovereignty of God and that you can trust Him. Think about how much you trust Him. You trust Him with eternity. Can you trust Him with the day-to-day? Is your thought process, God, I'll give it, but I need to take it back. God, I'll give it, but I'll take it back. You know, this morning, I'd encourage you to think upon this. In April, we'll celebrate an awesome event. We'll celebrate the resurrection of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope he's yours, but he's mine for today. I'll share him. But the fact is at this very moment, you know what my thought is? The resurrection is with me. Jesus used the terminology, I am the resurrection. God is life. I can think upon that. I can think upon that when I do something stupid, like read the news a little too long, listen to the news a little too long, listen to somebody else's opinion that's not like mine. I realize I have to change my thought process to realize, wait a second, I serve the resurrection. I can think upon these things. I get a choice to do these things. Destroying a stronghold, destroying an ungodly mindset, forming a new pathway is thinking upon the truth over and over and over and over. I told you it's real work. I told you you have to engage. I told you it's the truth. When you think about work tomorrow, or this afternoon when you think about going to work tomorrow, be honest with yourself and say, God, I want a different pathway in the way I think about this. I want to think about it that brings you glory and honor. I want to think about it how I can experience you. I want to think about it in truth. I'm choosing to do that today. I told you this last week, so I'll tell you again. So often the lies are the nails that build the prison that we live in. And God is ready to break out and do some renewal in our lives, in our minds. What are you passing on to the people that are you're raising up? And by the way, I don't just mean parents for kids. I'm talking about every single person that you come in contact with. What kind of thought life are you passing on to them? Do you need to pass on these truths? Shame will not direct me, but the truth that God loves me and I am valuable will direct me today. Will you believe this truth that God's not finished with you no matter how hard you're trying to quit? That God's not finished with you? He gets the final say, not me. That's a truth that you can build off of. That I am valuable no matter what the world says about me. You know what I'd encourage you to do? I'd encourage you to do what God told the Israelites in the Old Testament. Put those truths everywhere. One of the things I do, and some of these you're going to think are just stupid, but I'm letting you in a little bit. I'm letting you behind the curtain. You ready? Each morning, I'm making declarations. And they change and they ebb and flow, but here's just a few of them. You ready? Here's one of them I make. God, I am not too good to do anything you ask me to do. God, I'm not above anything you're asking me to do. God, you have gifted me, you have called me, you have enabled me to do what you need me to do today. God, I may not think I have enough resources, but that's a lie. I'm going to think how you will provide everything I need for today. And tomorrow, we'll get to it tomorrow. God, I am valuable because you say I am valuable. And I'll give no place in my mind for anybody else to tell me a lie. God, I will walk in the truth that you say about me. I will not sit around today, God, and go, I wish I had more because you are my enough. You're all I need. God, there's going to be things that happen today and they're going to cause me to get conflicted, thinking, should I be fearful? How am I going to not walk in that uncertainty, God? But I want to put my thought process into that you are certain. And there's variations of that. There's times I've gone myself or Kathy to a doctor's appointment, waiting on the results of tests, don't know. And you know, one of the things I keep telling myself over and over and over as we're waiting for that door to open, some of you have been there, to get a report, is no matter what he says, God has the final say. And even if someone says something that man terms bad, that my God is good, period. And that does not change. And you know what starts to happen? You do it over and over and over, especially, you know when I do it a lot of times too? I do it in the morning, that's true, but another time I do it is when I'm talking to somebody and they're spewing negative words because they're having negative thoughts. You know what I'm doing to myself? I will not receive that. That will have no place on me. I'm brushing it off. Mentally, I'm literally doing that. I'm going, that has no place in my life. That has no place in my life. I choose life. Does it happen once a day? Absolutely not. Sometimes it happens 100 times a day. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Jesus died for me. For me he died. I serve the resurrection. Over and over. What am I doing? I'm building upon a mindset that says the day I accepted Jesus, that nothing can separate me from his love. and nothing or no one can snatch me out of his hand. And somewhere on some big palm somewhere, the Bible says, my name is written there, and it's not erasable. Is it easy? If it was easy, why would we all be sitting here? Because most of you in this room have heard this before. The question is, are you willing to engage in the process of renewing your mind and then how it impacts others? Somehow or another, I feel like at times it's got lost in churchdom world. We quote verses about renewing your mind, but I'm not sure how often we claim it to know Him and to make Him known. To know Him and to make Him known. I just love the way Paul says that, and I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. Summing it all up, friends, I think you better think upon the things of God. You know, it's easy to read that, to say that, when the bank account's full and everything's going hunky-dory. But where did Paul write that from? He wrote it from prison. He was in prison because he had thought of those things. He was in prison because his life worked itself out because he thought upon the truth. He was in prison because that's where God needed him. I would have hated to have been a guard of Paul. He would have been annoying for a non-Christian. He really would have. I've often pictured all those epistles that Paul wrote when he was in prison. The guards, their conversations. When they're getting ready to go on duty, is that Paul guy still in there? Because all he wants to talk about is some Jesus that he says was dead and is alive. But all I know is this. Every time I tell him he's a dead man walking, all he does is respond with, I died a long time ago to live again. To die is to gain. All I know is every time I try to put him down, he looks at me and he says, I forgive you and I love you. Did you know that my Savior died for you and He loves you? Every time I try to tell him the end is hopeless, he says, oh, my end is just beginning. I am hope-filled. This life has nothing to offer me, but my beloved is mine and my beloved loves me. I want you to think about that for today. I do want you to think about renewing your mind, how it can impact you. What declarations do you need to make today? What mindset do you need to destroy? What is God up to? Knowing Him and making Him known. Think about the people in your life that need to know Him. If you talk about Jesus like He's a historical figure, I don't know how compelling that is. But when you talk about Him like He's your best friend, because He really is, then people will at least be challenged by what you're saying. At least they'll have to stop and think, well, they sure are convinced, even if they are crazy. It's never entered my mind that Kathy and I would not be together forever. That on this side of heaven, that could end at any moment. So I don't wait to show her or tell her how much I love her. Because this is the moment I get to choose life or death. So today you get to choose if you'll declare the truth in your life, in your mind, that affects your brain, that affects your tongue, that affects your actions. Renewing your mind is of God. I didn't come up with the idea. Mankind didn't come up with it. God came up with it. I call it a pretty good idea. I leave you with one more declaration. The world will be different and better because I serve Jesus. The world will be better and different because I serve Jesus. Let's just begin to pray. You have your prayer cards that will be taken over at the end. What is God speaking to you? I want your eyes closed and your heads bowed. This is going to be one of those things where I'm kind of praying, kind of talking to you. God, I know you love me and I know you love us. You pursue us with an unending love. You can't do anything but love us because you are love. And now you guys, have you ever really considered today that whether or not you understand every component of it, that the living God sent His living Son to die a death a while back to take away all that wasn't of God and banish it forever. Also, you could have a personal relationship
with that living God. All your hopes can be placed upon Jesus. And all that takes, if you've never done that today, is simply something like this. God, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge your son, Jesus. I acknowledge that I've messed it up at times. And I'm asking that I place all my sin upon Jesus. Ask him to take away all those sins so I can have a personal relationship with you. So in essence, God, I'm just giving all I know about me to all I know about you. Won't be pretending. Won't be playing. We'll be honest and truthful. I need you, God. Now for the rest of us. As you think about your prayer requests, your thanksgivings today, your praises, God, I have a simple request. Forgive us for fighting the renewal of our minds. I pray, God, that we would lay all that aside. Begin to allow you to really do that intimately and personally. That we won't try to hide. We won't try to pretend it's about somebody else. We serve a forever God. The altar will be open. Rick and I will be around. Pray with. You can go ahead and bring your cards and your envelopes. You can put anything on those cards you want to, because there, we guard them closely. Altar is open at this time. We put all this in Jesus' name. This way, if you haven't brought your cards or envelopes, you can put them up there or back there if you want to. It's going to be a busy November, okay? It can be real busy. So do not let it get away from you. I promise you there's a lot going on, okay? But in the midst of our busyness, God's still working, okay? Let's pray. Father, it is good to know that you are worthy of so much praise. You're worthy of every ounce of love that we can muster on loving you. And God, I pray today we'll be the people of God. Lord, I know that evil in all kinds of forms might test us, might try us. But God, I pray today we'll stand firm. Stand firm in our faith, stand firm in our thoughts, stand firm in our trust of you. You will not abandon us, period. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.